Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can trust you. And through it all, Father, we can. No matter what we're dealing with, no matter what we're struggling with, Father, we can trust you. Because your word never comes back, Lord, Father. Your promises are always good. And Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you would allow us to be part of your ministry to help bring heaven down here on earth, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, insurance companies are famous for their slogans. I don't know what it is about insurance companies, but they just, maybe it's the writers that write for them, but when you think about Allstate, you think about you're in good hands, right? Mm-hmm. MetLife's motto is, have you had MetLife today? Nationwide.
It's on your side.
Nationwide, I'm on your side. My biggest client at work is State Farm. Anybody know what their slogan is? Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. That's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. Oh. Way to go, John.
We're going to talk about one of, you know, when Jesus told parables in the scriptures, he was such a good storyteller. He always brought the point back to where he originally wanted the story to go. And I think two of the most well-heard parables, stories, the most popular in the scripture, one is the prodigal son. I think this one is right along there with it. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. I'm going to read to you the story. It's in Luke, the 10th chapter. I'm going to start at the 25th verse. The scripture says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Him being Jesus, said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he desires to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers and who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite who came to the place and saw him passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds and pouring on oil and water and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Jesus then said, which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This story starts off with the lawyer asking a great question for a wrong reason. I can't think of a better question to ask than what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's a question we all need to ask.
Amen.
That's a question we all need answered. How do I know when I die I'm going to heaven? That's a great question to be asked. But as the scriptures tell us here, it wasn't an honest question. It wasn't a question that he really wanted to know the answer to. He was there to test Jesus. He was trying to trap Jesus into something. You're going to find in the Bible, when somebody asks Jesus an honest question, he gives them an honest answer.
That's right. Amen.
But when you come with a dishonest question, he's always going to turn the tables on the person asking the question. And he does it by asking them a question. Understand this. If you don't know this, you better learn this. You don't test Jesus. Jesus tests you.
Amen.
Need to understand that. When Jesus said, well, what does the scripture say? He had it exactly right, didn't he? He answered it exactly the way the scriptures say it was. Don't you know he was kind of feeling all pumped up about himself? Feeling good that he had the right answer. Then Jesus said, well, you're exactly right. Now go and do that. The lawyer, wanting to justify himself, as attorneys will do, start looking for a loophole here. And so he asked another question. The question was, well, who is my... See, the lawyer was dividing people up into 2 categories. Neighbors and non-neighbors. And when he did this, he gave Jesus this golden opportunity to tell this great story with this great message that the world needed to hear. They needed to hear it 2,000 years ago. We need to hear it every day ourselves. This message is for us as well. When Jesus tells this story, he introduces us to 3 different types of characters. The first are the thieves. The thieves had an attitude is, what you have, I want, and I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
That's the attitude of a thief. There are 4 more thieves than you might realize. We know about the kind of that thief that takes money that doesn't belong to them. But a rapist who takes sexual pleasure for somebody else, that's a thief. to the CEOs and big business corporate executives who built innocent stockholders out of billions of dollars. They are a thief. But you can be a thief in more ways than one. You may be a thief here today and not even know it. You may not even realize it. Understand this. God gives us things and He gives us people. He gives us things to use and He gives us people to love. When we get that backwards, we become a thief. Now we're loving things and using people. And that wasn't what God intended for us to do.
Amen.
Listen, if you're a taker and never a giver, you're a thief.
That's right.
A thief has this attitude that I do what I want to do, no matter how it affects other people. They are motivated by their own lust for things. That's the kind of person that met this man coming down from Jerusalem into Jericho. And they took everything he had. Didn't just take his stuff. They beat him, stripped him, humiliated him.
Yeah.
Second group of people that Jesus brings into this story are the priests and the Levites. You would think if anybody would have stopped for this man, it would have been one of these two men or both.
Right.
I mean, they represent the religious community back then. The priest was the man in the pulpit. The Levite was the man in the pew. In fact, they were coming from Jerusalem. They probably just left church.
Right.
But the problem with these two men is they didn't want to get involved. That's an attitude that is present today. Nobody wants to get involved. And Jesus illustrates in this story because of what these men did not do, they're no better off than the thieves. You can be a thief in two ways. You can take things or take something that doesn't belong to you, or you can keep something that belongs to somebody else. Proverbs 3:27 said, "Do not withhold good things from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hands to do so. We are God's hands and feet and His mouth here on earth. We are here to serve Him and to serve others. That's who we're supposed to be. We should never walk away from somebody who needs our help."
Right.
It says in James 4:17, "If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, that for you is evil." If you know what the right thing is to do, but you don't do it, that to you is evil. You see, the problem here is they could have done something, but they didn't do anything.
Right.
The problem was not what they did. The problem was what they didn't do. They didn't beat this man. They didn't rob this man. They didn't strip this man. But Jesus said they were just as bad because they refused to help this man. I can tell you right now, the quickest way to shut this church down, the quickest way you can shut this church down is by doing nothing.
Amen.
When the offering plate is passed, just let it pass by. When the doors are open to come to worship, just let it pass by. When God gives you an opportunity to minister to somebody, just pass it by. The problems with so many churches today, they're filled with priests and Levites who just don't want to get involved. People who just don't want to get involved. These people are not the ones that say, I do what I want to do. These people are the ones who say, I only do what I have to do. I'm not going to stick my neck out for anybody. If you're a person like that, not willing to get involved, not willing to take a risk, you're not a good neighbor. There's one other figure in this story. The hero of this story. And guess what? Jesus makes him a Samaritan. That had to drive the people that were listening to him crazy. Because the Jews hate Samaritans. We call this story the Good Samaritan. A Jew would tell you the only good Samaritan is a dead Samaritan. Mm-hmm. 2,000 years ago, if you really wanted to insult a person, you'd call him a Samaritan. I'm telling you that the Pharisees, when they went to church in their early morning prayers, they go into the temple and they cry out to God and thank God that they hadn't been born a woman, a Gentile, or a Samaritan. But Jesus made the Samaritan the hero of this story. Why do you think he did that? He was going to teach a lesson to this crowd that day. And it's a lesson that we need to understand today as well. The moral of this story is that when this lawyer asked this second question, he asked the wrong question. What was the question he asked? Who is my neighbor? The question he should be asking is, am I a good neighbor? In this story, put yourself into this story. Be honest with yourself. Ask yourself, who am I in this story? Am I the thief who has the attitude that I'm going to take whatever I want, I'm going to do whatever I want, I don't care how it affects anybody else? Are you the priest or the Levite who says, I'm only going to do what I have to do. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to stick my neck out. Or perhaps today you're the Good Samaritan. To understand this story, you better understand this. Everybody is your neighbor. Yeah. It's not just the person that lives next door to you. Mm-hmm. Anybody who has a need is your neighbor. Yeah. Anybody that you can help, if you have the means to help them, you should not walk to the other side. You should get involved. You should be part of the answer, not part of the problem.
Amen.
What made this story? Is the scripture verse still up there?
Yeah.
The reason that the Samaritan was the hero in this story is in the last three words of verse 33. What does it say?
He had compassion.
He had compassion. That's what made him a hero. Listen, there weren't any laws that could stop this priest and Levi, to stop and help this man. But it was compassion and caring and understanding that stopped this Samaritan to do this. And a good neighbor is not going to count the cost. Listen, this Samaritan did everything for this man. He poured his own wine and oil on him. He put him on his own donkey and walked while he rode. He took him to an inn. He cared for him there. And then when he had to leave, he paid for the innkeeper to make sure if this man is okay. And he even said, when I come back, if I still owe you something, I'll pay it. He didn't count the cost. Mm-hmm. He didn't think because he was a Samaritan and this man was a Jew that he didn't deserve his care, his concern, his compassion. I'm sure this crowd was ready to faint by now. Here Jesus had taken a Samaritan and made him a hero. He had taken the religious leaders in the Jewish community and made them look horrible. But here he sticks the knife in and he turns to the lawyer and he says to him, which one of these three do you think was the good neighbor? What was the lawyer going to say? Certainly not the thief. Certainly not the priest and the Levite. The only answer he could give him was he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, now you go do that. He says to us, you want to be a good Samaritan, have compassion. Now you go and do that. That's part of who we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's the attitude of the person that makes them a good neighbor. It's not the attitude that I do what I want to do and I don't care if anybody else is hurt by it. It's not the attitude that I'm going to do what I have to do, but nothing more. Mm-hmm. It's the attitude is, I'm going to do what I ought to be doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the kind of attitude that the Good Samaritan has. That's the kind of attitude that you and I need to have.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus Jesus is our good Samaritan.
Yeah.
We've been beat. We've been stolen from. We've had all the. We've been knocked down so many times. It's Jesus that picks us up. It's Jesus that takes care of us. You want to be more like Jesus? Have compassion for the people that you're dealing with every day. I read a little story about a young boy in New York. It was freezing cold. It was January. And he was standing outside barefoot. There's a shoe store right across the street from where this little boy was. The man in the shoe store looked out and saw this boy freezing cold without his shoes and said, "Man, that's a shame. I've got all these shoes here. Somebody ought to do something." But he didn't do it. A woman pulls up, takes the young boy by the hand, leads him into the shoe store, buys him some socks and shoes for him to wear. And the little boy looked at the woman and asked her, "Are you God's wife?" She said, "No, I'm just one of his children. I knew you were some kin to me." That's how we need to be. We need to be some kin to God, don't we?
Amen.
We need to be more like Jesus. We need to see people look at us and say, "Well, I know you're some kin to me." Because we are. We are His children.
Amen.
We have inherited everything God has here on earth. He's given it to us. And the power that Jesus had when He was here. When you give your whole heart to the Lord, then your heart can have compassion and love and kindness that we all need to have. We can't do it otherwise. We can't do it on our own. Like a good neighbor, Jesus is there. I want it to be just like a good neighbor. You're there for somebody. You're there to help somebody. It's not easy, but you can't count the cost. You got to move with compassion, be concerned. I want to be like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what we all want to be like Jesus?
Amen.
I want to be His kin. Amen. That's what I mean. Heavenly Father, as we see this story today, we understand how we at different parts in our lives probably have been all three of it. But Father, we want to be the Samaritan in this story from here on out. That's who we want to be.
Yeah.
We want to be people that are moved with compassion and concern for somebody in a need. Father, we need to understand that we can't just do nothing. We can't just cross to the other side and act like there's nothing wrong. We have to get involved. We need to be doing what we ought to be doing. When we do that, Father, we can be a good neighbor to the person that needs us. It's important for us to understand, Father, that You have given us all a ministry. We are all ministers, Father, to to go out into the world and share the gospel, to tell people about something that we have learned ourselves, that we have been saved by grace, and that they too can have eternal life. We need to share that with people. We need to understand that we can't be judgmental and unforgiving, because Father, we don't want you to be that way with us. We can't be that way with others. Father, thank you that you have come into our hearts and you have brought in compassion and kindness and goodness and mercy and all the things of the Spirit that you have brought into us. Now, Father, it's up to us to use it. It's up to us to do it. Father, I thank you for the people in this church who are always wanting to reach out to help other people. I thank you for that. I can't tell you how blessed I am when I see so many people with so little still praising you, still worshiping you, still trusting in you, still being willing to do whatever they can to help somebody else. I know what it does for my heart. I know what it does for yours. Father, every Sunday when I say, when you leave here today, do something good for somebody. That's not a motto. That's not just a little saying I say. That's a prayer that will be for me and for every person here, that we'll get a chance to do something good for somebody. Because we've been so blessed and so favored. Father, we want to return those favors to other people and show you how much we love you and how much we love your children, Father. I ask that you bless this week and you bless us. Bless the people here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to have an invitation.